You are listening to today's Modern Worship here in Brevard County, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining the Fresh Radio program. Danny was just sitting here, and he said, "It is Friday." And I said, "Somebody is listening to my opening a lot of times here." So let me tell you, folks, it is Friday. I pray that you are having a great and glorious day. I'm going to have a great day. I'm going to have a great tomorrow. And we want to take this opportunity to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. We're two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney Parkway. And we would love if you joined us as we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we talked about on yesterday's program, Your Kingdom Come. And today we're going to be talking about the prayer that we pray, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if you would like to come and worship the King with us, we have Sunday school at 9:30. We have worship at 10:30. And we have plenty of seats available. If we run out of seats, we've got more. If we ever get to the place where we run out of space as well as seats, then we will adjust accordingly. And we just want to do everything that God has us to do. And we want to hear, like we read about yesterday in Luke chapter 19, it was, we want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So that really is one of the goals of our life. So let's get to the Word of God today. We're looking at the Lord's Prayer. And the reason that we're here is because the disciples saw Jesus praying and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." John taught his disciples to pray. "Are you going to teach us to pray?" And then he began to share with them what we know as the Lord's Prayer. And I will tell you that this prayer is more than just a nice compilation of words that kind of flows together. You can make a nice song out of it. There's some beautiful renditions of the Lord's Prayer that have been put to music and things like that. But this is supposed to be a time where the heart of God becomes the cry of our heart, to where we long for the same things that God longs for. So that's what brings us today. So let's go to verse number 2. So he, Jesus, said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.'" So, like we talked about on yesterday's program, what we need is we need the King and his kingdom to manifest here on earth to the same extent that his rule and reign has created a culture of perfection, of moral perfection, of physical perfection, of economic perfection in heaven. That it is heaven is a sinless environment. So if you are going to pray the Lord's Prayer, you have got to be praying, "God, I want you to create in me an environment and a culture where sin is not the norm. Sin is banished because we want the holiness of heaven here as well as the King of Heaven. So, as I talked about on yesterday's program, the challenge is that many people in Western civilization or democracies or democratic republics or constitutional republics, however you want to term the system of government where the voice of the people is heard, they struggle with the concept of God as the king of society. They do. We're going to see that same truth today, because what we are going to look at in developing our prayer, our conversation with God, conversation with the king for that matter, is this part of the prayer: your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it is true that God created mankind with a free will. He created our mind, our will, our emotions. There's a lot of theological discussions about the sovereignty of God, him as king, in contrast with the will of man, which he created. And I always like to put it this way: God in his sovereignty created an opportunity in humanity where we could choose Jesus. That, you know, he paid the sacrifice on the cross. He came and gave us the example. He offered us deliverance. He has given us the truth, given us the faith that we need to believe him, given us more spiritual resources than anyone in human history has ever had before. And the choice is this: what are you going to do with it? And so the battle becomes, do I insist on having my will, or do I insist on having God's will? So here, almost a month ago, not quite a month ago, but almost a month ago, we had a graduation ceremony, if you will, a graduation celebration for those who had been with us during our Fire Bible discipleship journey. And my wife and I were setting things up, and she, you know, asked me a question or was getting ready to do something, and I said something, and she said, don't you like this? And I, you know, and so the question is out there, and I made this statement: no, I never have. I never have. And she said, well, we don't have to do it that way. And I said, no, it's perfectly fine. I said, I have personal preferences as an individual. I said, there are also those personal preferences may be different than pastoral preferences. And what you have presented to me is that even though this is not my personal preference, there's a safety issue in regards to why you do this. And so safety is higher importance than personal preference. And that's truly the way that I make decisions. There are times where I may like something personally, but dislike it in a pastoral setting. So there might be some songs that I think are fun, but I think they have bad theology. And so I can like the song, but I don't necessarily want to sing it in a congregational setting. I can find it, you know, entertaining or something along those lines. And so it may be very difficult for people as they are prioritizing which will is going to be given deference, which one is going to give the higher ranking capability. So Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, now listen, he had stepped off the throne in glory. He had been born of a virgin. He had not been born in a palace. He was born in a manger. He had been exiled from the promised land and escaped into the land where Israel had been in captivity. He was raised not where servants were serving him, but he was raised in a home, a carpenter's home, where manual labor was done. He didn't even have a house or a place to lay his head at one point in time. He spent 40 days in the wilderness overcoming temptation. He ministered for 3 years in a hostile environment where everybody was trying to trap him in his words so that they could, you know, do away with him because they viewed him as a threat. He died upon the cross, and after going through all of the hardship leading up to the cross, he is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from." He had gone through all of that other stuff to get to the point of dying on the cross because he's the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And the will of God may not always be easy. It may not always be pleasant. In fact, it may be very, very difficult. It may be very, very unpleasant. But the will of God is always worth it. And so I've known people who said when it came to the will of God versus the will of what they wanted to do, they were going to choose their will, and then they would just come and ask for forgiveness later on. I will tell you that you're going to face that test over and over and over again. I had a conversation with a person one time, and they shared with me some news, and I said, "Well, congratulations! It was a challenging situation, and that situation had been resolved." And that person said this: "No, no, I'm not rejoicing in this. I'm not rejoicing because what I have found is that whenever I go through a difficult season, if my will is to rejoice at the expense of others, then I've got to go around that mountain again. And I don't want to face this test again. I want to get it right the first time." I will tell you that the prayer of "not my will, but thy will be done" that Jesus prayed is a challenge that all of us face. We don't just face it once. We don't just experience it in our youth. We experience it over and over again, probably every day. I can tell you, as I was dealing with the realities of the morning, that in order for me to fulfill my responsibilities, there were things that I said no to that my will was really wanting to say yes to. So disciples know that our will, which was given to us by God, is he gave it to us so that we could choose him, not to choose to violate his word, not to choose to rebel against him, not to choose to ignore him, but to choose Jesus. My wife and I have been married a very, very long time. Not as long as others. You know, I think I saw where President Carter and his wife, I think they were married for 76 or 77 years. I've got some friends. They've been married for 75, 76, or 77 years. I don't remember exactly how long, but they've been married longer than I've been alive. And one of the ways that a marriage survives is you continue to choose that person day after day after day after day. That you don't just choose Jesus for an encounter, but you choose Jesus every day, and you pray, God, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the question then presents itself, how is the will of God done in heaven? So when you have come to terms and say, okay, when it comes to my free will versus praying for the will of God to be done, I'm going to choose the will of God. So you've got that. Then you ask yourself, how is the will of God done in heaven? Well, God sits on the throne. We established that yesterday. He's the king. He's our heavenly father, but he's also the king. And when he issues a decree, the angels carry that decree out immediately. Without question, without discussion, the will of God is done the way and in the time by the person that God knows it should be done by. So even though the will of God may not be easy for our flesh, it will always be exactly the right thing to do. So you and I need to come to that place where we say, God, what you say, that's going to be done. I may not have the ability to manifest the answer to this prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I may not have the power or the authority or the influence to make it happen globally, but I should have enough obedience to make it happen as an individual. I should create an atmosphere in my home where the will of God is the highest priority between my wife and I. Do it in such a way that my children see it, my grandchildren see it, my church sees it, that the will of God, whatever God wants, that's what needs to be done. So at Merit Assembly of God, now people ask us, what's the Assemblies of God? I describe it this way. We are a Protestant Pentecostal fellowship of believers. When I come into Sunday morning, there will have been study. There will have been physical preparation. There will have been prayer. There will be spiritual preparation. There will be a plan in place. And in our visitors packet, we have a letter of greeting that is in there. And in there, and I think it even says it in the bulletin, this is what you can expect, but it says something like this. I think in the bulletin it might say subject to change. In the visitor's letter, it says this. This is God's house. And if God wants to change the agenda, we're going to go with what God wants instead of what we have planned on paper. Sometimes it is not that you haven't heard from God. God sent Abraham and Isaac to Mount Moriah, and God changed the plan at the last minute, not because he didn't know what was in Abram's heart, but because Abraham didn't know what was in his heart. And God had something better. He had a type of sacrifice. He had provided a ram caught in the thicket that was going to be a type, a forepicture of what it was going to look like when God would provide himself a sacrifice, which is what Jehovah Jireh means. He provides himself, he provides for himself, and he provided himself a sacrifice for our sins. People read that statement and they say, what kind of God could ask for child sacrifice? I find it interesting that a lot of the people who ask that question are people who actually don't value human infant life. But let me tell you about ancient culture. Just about every ancient culture, ancient religious practice, had child sacrifice. They found evidence of child sacrifice all over the globe. There was only one God who stopped it, and his name is Jesus. Jesus said, you don't need to do that. God told Abraham, I don't need your son. Your son belongs to me. The firstborn son belongs to me. And so whenever you look at things in the Bible, you can't just look at them with your modern perspective. You have to put on the lens of what that society looked like, and you will see, instead of the harshness of God, you will actually see the mercy of God, that God is transforming culture. He's transforming society. And so that's just a little bit of Bible study perspective that you can, maybe benefit from. Somebody said, I don't want to serve a God that identifies himself as a jealous God. Well, if you look at it through the lens of human jealousy, human jealousy causes us to be jealous for ourselves. Somebody's made a decision, it's made us upset, and therefore we're going to either hurt that person or hurt someone else because they've hurt us. The fact that God is a jealous God, it doesn't mean that he is jealous because of what we've done. He is jealous for us because he knows that his provision for us is absolute perfection. It is the absolute best. And we are doing ourselves harm. We are subjecting ourselves to misery and ruin and heartache and pain and suffering and death because we're choosing. So God's jealousy is a jealousy for us, not a jealousy against us. So the Assemblies of God is known as, if you look in our governing documents, we are identified as a voluntary cooperative fellowship. A voluntary cooperative fellowship. When I became a minister in the Assemblies of God, I voluntarily cooperated with the Assemblies of God. So my applying for credentials and embracing the 16 statements of fundamental truths that we have. I was saying, I am willingly, voluntarily deciding to cooperate. My will is saying yes to the will of the body. And if that ever ceases to happen, then I am no longer voluntarily cooperating, and they will say, it's been real, it's been fun, it's been real fun, goodbye. That's what that explanation means. And for us to say, God, your will be done, we are saying to God, God, I am placing my will under the authority of your will. And even if I do not have the understanding of why your will is what it is at this point in time, I'm going to say yes to your will. So when we were offered a job to come and manage a shoe store in Melbourne, Florida, the person that called me, I didn't tell him yes. I told him this: let me pray about it, because I need to know that I'm right in the center of God's will. Freaked him out a little bit. He said, well, how long do you need to pray? And I said, 24 hours ought to be good. And he was like, oh, we can wait 24 hours. And so I called my wife, and she prayed, and we prayed because we said, God, you've called us. Your will for our life is for us to be a pastor. And we'll say yes to this move, even though it's not a move we expected, not a move that we saw on the horizon. God, we'll say yes to this move, but you're going to have to open that door, because that's what you've said your will is. And I will tell you that when you and I embrace and say, God, we don't just want your will for our eternity. We want your will to manifest itself here on earth. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The best place that that's going to display is in your life. And as the will of God is followed and obeyed in your life, it's going to be an example of blessing and favor that other people are going to see, and it'll be inspirational to them, and they will say, I want the will of God in my life. If you ever get to the place where you say, like Peter did, not so, Lord, then you haven't learned the lesson about the will of God and the will of man that Jesus wants us to learn. You can't say no to God and say yes to his will at the same time. You've got to say, God, I want your will. You have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Thank you
back
for
here
tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Waylon Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Waylon specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Waylon Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit waylonduff.kw.com. Realty.com. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.